Live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like that dude just said, yes, we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. We're at 4:07 p.m., and I'm just now in number two. But I got to tell you, it's a big one. And I would love, by the way, I would love to hear more calls from veterans or folks who have an interest in the military. I recognize that some of you that may be on active duty right now feel like you're constrained from being able to speak, and so you don't necessarily have to call in to say your last name. But I'd love to hear firsthand what you guys think. But here's the piece that I'm looking at right now. Story from National Review. Actually, it's an opinion piece from National Review. Dated January of this year. Is the U.S. military actually ready for war? Well, now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you first off, I do believe that the U.S. military's history is very often to cycle down and to come back up. But I hate seeing us get to the point of crisis before we do what is necessary to maintain the ready force. And you know, like I said, my dad served through the years of the Hollow Army. Luckily, he was able to retire in the Reagan years and saw a return to what he knew when he first got in back in the 60s. But all that to say, the Hollow Force is something that was very real in the 70s. And right now, we are at recruiting levels that are worse than what we saw then. We are at a place right now where morale is suffering. We're at a place right now where issues like wokeism being thrust upon the ranks and distracting from the biggest job, the reason why the military exists, is preparing for and winning combat operations in defense of the homeland or against our enemies abroad. Whatever the case may be, where it is, when it is, should not matter. The number one mission of the military is to prepare for and conduct combat operations successfully. Period. Hard stop. Well, in January this year, this particular author from National Review wrote this piece. He says, the most recent approximation of conventional warfare came in 2003 against an outdated and ill-led Iraqi army. And it did. The invasion of Iraq against Iraq's standing army was the closest thing we had seen to force-on-force in that kind of construct in quite a while. What we're seeing in Ukraine right now is the closest thing that we have seen to conventional warfare on that scale, in probably since World War II in Europe. But he goes on to say, the U.S. Navy has not faced a conventional competitor since 1991 and has not fought in conventional naval combat since 1945. It is not, however, the lack of a major power combat experience that should cause unease. What would it be then? It says, in general, major American wars follow an identical pattern. An initial defensive period, during which the U.S. mobilizes resources, followed by a punishing counterattack that overwhelms the adversary. One of the keys, they say, is materiel superiority, meaning logistical trains and supplies, the ability to sustain the effort. By the way, phone number I said a moment ago is 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. How do you feel about the state of our military today? Do you have concerns? I don't have to have any highbrow answers. Just tell me what you think. But this article goes on to say the key being materiel support superiority, personnel, materiel, and training. It says the U.S. ought to consider the possibility that China will possess larger forces than us, and we should look upon an exceptional military competence of places like Israel as a model. Small, but highly effective, highly motivated, well-trained, well-equipped. Underscoring this is the U.S.'s vastly diminished ability to equal American industry's extraordinary World War II output. It says the U.S. may not have its former ability to overcome a powerful enemy with materiel in time to prevail against a major adversary. All right, so here's the deal. One of the issues we've got is an administration right now that does not understand leadership. And I recognize there are people within the ranks of the administration that do, but they don't have the authority to act unilaterally. I don't know what he would have been like under a different administration, but our current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, an Auburn graduate, retired three-star general. I don't know what he would have been like had he been in the Trump administration. But right now, I would say he's a complete failure within the Biden administration, made all the more so by the Biden administration's policies. Maybe he's fully accepting. Maybe he embraces it. Or maybe he's just doing a job and hates his life right now. I don't know. Here's my thing. If you're appointed to a position of such significance that you are a cabinet-level position within a presidential administration, and you don't believe in the policies you're having to enforce or enact, quit your job. Walk away with your name intact. That's what I would say. So I guess let me just backtrack then a second. I'm going to go ahead and just hazard this. If you're staying in the job, but you don't like the policies, then quit. But if you're staying in the job, I will have to assume that you believe in what is being done because you chose not to quit. General Mark Milley, he's got every opportunity to retire right now. And General Milley, I mean, he's had an amazing career. You look at his uniform, if you understand military badges, ranks, and medals, you can look at his uniform and go, dang, old boy's been there and done that. But he is presiding right now over what is becoming a hollow force, and I have to question, sir, if you believe in what you're doing, I question that. And if you're staying in the job, you must believe in it, and I have no reason to assume otherwise. I would say if you don't believe in it, it's time to put in your papers. Well, finishing up this article on the Hollow Army, the National Review piece from January this year, he concludes by saying, the U.S. military today is focused on budget battles, procurement issues, social engineering, and the permanent quest of a large central military staff to increase their hold on everything from strategy to force architecture. He said, as important as these are, they distract from warfighting. There you go. The understanding that the U.S. is in an interwar period does not exist. The notion that the military's first task is to defeat our increasingly powerful adversaries is becoming a relic from an unexamined past. If it animated the U.S. high command, there would be unrelenting emphasis on selecting officers who were combat ready. He said it would also be followed by similar attention to things like training and planning and equipping for wars with a major adversary or two, to include realistic wargaming. Well, here's the thing. I reached back a little bit to see what I could find. What I just read to you there was that the U.S. military is currently in a position where we are 23% down in recruiting. We're at like early 70s levels right now, like right after they stopped the draft. We've got wokeism in the ranks. We've got training of our troops telling them to go ahead and accept the fact that transgenders in your shower is a good thing and you must embrace that. I mean, it's ridiculous. Meanwhile, the vaccine mandates are just crushing the soul of our National Guard and Reserve. What does being able to man the force mean to people like General Milley, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Well, he gets it. Why do I say that? Because he said so in 2017. 2017, you say? Yes, back when he was Army Chief of Staff at an AUSA conference. That's the Association of the United States Army. At an AUSA conference in May of 2017, General Milley said that Army leaders are focusing on fully manning units rather than weapons modernization because their biggest worry, in his words, is having a hollow force. Ha! The title of the article is Preventing a Hollow Force is the Army's Top Priority. Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley, at the time Chief of Staff, said undermanning is the most serious issue facing the force in 2017. Milley said the top funding priority is increasing the number of soldiers, a move that was authorized by Congress and is now fully funded with the 2018 budget request, Trump administration. He said progress is admittedly slow, Milley said. You stopped it, he's talking to Congress. You stopped a downward trend, you halted it, you stopped the bleeding, so to speak, and we turned a corner. But he went on to end with this. This is General Milley's comments. He said, combat is unforgiving, and it is more unforgiving in armies that are not manned, trained, equipped, and well-led, Milley said. Advances by our adversaries are real. It is not fake news. So what we're seeing right now is the opposite of what he said himself in 2017. Now, I recognize he's working for a different administration. I recognize that Biden does not understand the purpose of a military is not for social experimentation. I recognize that the Trump administration believed in peace through strength, whereas Biden believes in peace through acquiescence. But the reality is General Milley himself said that what we needed to avoid was a hollow force. That General Milley himself said the number one thing is manning, and they were already short then, he thought. And that was then. Look at where we are now. Well, Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. I'm going to come back and wrap this one up in a few minutes. I got some stuff right here on military recruiting, and I got a brand new story that broke while we've been on the air about what the U.S. Army said today about National Guard members who have not been vaccinated. Yeah, that's a huge chunk of our ready force. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper, avoiding the hollow military, I'm calling it. Avoiding the hollow military. It's a thing. It's a thing. And it's a big deal. It's a big hairy deal. Well, by the way, just so you know, in speaking of the hollow military, you just heard me say a moment ago before the break, if you were listening, that we are in a position right now where recruiting is at an all-time low. And yet, the factors that make for a ready military are typically considered to be personnel and materiel are two of the main ones. And then, of course, the ability to modernize or to keep the force trained. So you're looking at personnel, materiel, training, and modernization. One of those key is personnel. I read you a quote from General Mark Milley, who is now the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, back when he was just chief of staff of the Army. Back when he was chief of staff of the Army. And he said at the time in 2017 that military manning is the biggest issue. And in his words, it was to avoid a hollow force. Today, the U.S. Army issued a statement on the fact that there are roughly 60,000 National Guard and Reserve members who have not been vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. And as a result, the U.S. Army on Friday said that roughly 40,000 National Guardsmen and 22,000 reservists will be barred from their duties, effectively cutting off their pay and benefits. So, it says, here's the quote, an Army spokesperson said to military.com, soldiers who refuse the vaccination order without an approved or pending exemption request are subject to adverse administrative actions, including flags, bars to service, and official reprimands. That goes on your permanent record, some of that. And it says the announcement comes 1 week after the deadline for the Army National Guard passed for the Army National Guard that required soldiers to get the shots. So listen, let me make sure y'all understand. And I know my audience, y'all do understand, but let me just say it. The reality is this. We are looking at a situation where recruiting is down. They can't keep the manpower where it needs to be. And yet we're going to weed out 60,000 trained Guard and Reservists. And the Guard and Reserve, this is not your granddaddy's Guard and Reserve. The Guard and Reserve is considered to be an active Guard and Reserve. It is considered to be an able piece of the overall force projection of the United States military. Guard and Reserves have deployed oftentimes almost as often as the active component has. Guard and Reserves have to have the same level of training and competency. They go to the same schools. Gone are the days with the reserve component version of schools for the most part. Most of them you're seeing right now are what we would consider to be on par or equal to or the actual same as the active duty. I didn't go to reserve component Ranger school. I went to Ranger school. Hey, I got a caller on line four. Let me grab that before the break hits us. So line four, Tracy from Huntsville. Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I wanted to make a comment about this hollow military that you're talking about. I'm also very, very concerned about it. I have a 19-year-old son who has recently joined the National Guard, He's in the ROTC, and he's in college right now. He plans on making a military career. And he is a Christian. And, you know, I'm very concerned that the military leaders have lost all focus. When I hear of stories about how the military must shower with transgender people and how global warming is our biggest threat to the United States, I mean, that's all a bunch of bunk. And another thing I was going to hit on is my son did not want to get the COVID vaccine. He's a very healthy 19-year-old, but he was required to by ROTC. And anyway, I'm very concerned about it myself. And I wanted to say one other thing. I'm a retired engineer. I worked as an Army civilian out here at Redstone for 37 years. And for the last many years of my career, I experienced more and more ridiculous training things that took us away from doing our real engineering jobs, which is developing and fielding weapons for our military, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Stuff like inclusion training. I mean, even things like human trafficking, which I have no doubt is a serious problem, and I'm not making light of that. But why train us highly paid engineers on these type of things when we don't even run into human trafficking? I'm very concerned about decisions of our military leaders and how that's taking recruiting down.
Tracy, I appreciate you and your service, and I appreciate your son's service. And I tell you what, when we get back from this break, because I'm up against it right now, I'm going to talk about a little bit about what you just said and where the hope lies right now. To tell your son thank you and hang in there, all right? All right, folks, we got to take a break. I'm up against it. I got a caller on line two. Copper, see if he'll hold. Yeah, thank you. Good. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you before I take this next call, listen, it is 4:35 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. Have you thought about what you're going to do for Saturday morning breakfast? Aha. Phil, you just talked about breakfast. It's Friday. Yes, I know I did. Saturday morning. Can you imagine you get up, it's a beautiful, sunny Saturday morning in July, and you think to yourself, I want something more than that bowl of cereal or that gruel that I was going to fix for myself or that boiled egg I sometimes eat. No! Treat yourself to something better. And no dishes to wash because you go to Just Love Coffee Cafe. So what I'm saying is this. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall, the other one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. They've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They got amazing coffees, but the breakfast is woo-hoo-hoo. So listen, a lot of their stuff's cooked in a waffle iron to include the waffles. So they got like the berry waffles. They've got waffles that are made out of hash browns. What? Yes. I think that's called the hash brown tater. Anyway, they got the womlet, which is a massive omelet cooked in a waffle iron that has lots of stuff in it. And they got cappuccinos, lattes, and this good old-fashioned grind the beans fresh, make you a cup of hot black coffee. Light roast, dark roast, medium roast, doesn't matter. So, yeah, check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And please, when you do, tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. All right, well, listen, I got to go right now to a caller who hung on during the break, and I really appreciate that. So let me grab line two real quick. Timothy from Somerville, how you doing today, man?
Doing great, and I thought up a
Did I lose him? Copper,
no, I'm still here.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I think your signal went bad there for a second, but Timothy, what you got?
Well, I'll tell you a couple, three stories about being on the bad end of the supply system.
Yeah.
I was in aviation logistics the whole time. I was a helicopter pilot. And in the 4th Infantry Division Aviation Battalion. And we down for a year and a half with 13 different engines hung on it because we couldn't get the parts out of the supply system.
Oh.
That's one.
Yeah.
then I was in the 1st Infantry Division, 1st Aviation Battalion, and we routinely had to pull armament parts off our Cobras when they came in the maintenance so we could get the Cobras.
Oh, we keep then Timothy, can you hear me, man? Your signal keeps breaking up right in mid-sentence. Can you hear me all right?
Let me drive a little farther.
Okay. I tell you what, Timothy, I think I hear your point, and I'm sorry, but we're losing your signal there. That's part of what happens when we have to hold on during a break sometimes. But, Copper, I tell you what, just keep him on the line. If he comes back strong, well, we lost him. Okay, he's gone. All right. Well, hey, Timothy, by the way, thank you for your service. Appreciate you being in the audience. And call back in another time because I would love to hear more perspective, especially for somebody who was a Cobra pilot. But yeah, darn. Copper, yeah, I thought we were going to lose him altogether, but then it came back. But anyway. All right, listen, you want to call in? I'll just take them. 866-494-9866. Military, you got stories? You got thoughts? Where are we on recruiting? What do you think about the fact that we are literally about to lose 60,000, 62,000 National Guard and Reserve troops? And by the way, the lady who called in earlier, right before the break, and said that her son had just gone into the National Guard. By the way, thank you for that. Gone into the National Guard, and on top of that, had enrolled in the ROTC program for college. That's a great situation to be in. I mean, the National Guard can help pay for college, and while you're in the Guard earning a paycheck in college, you're getting your tuition paid for, and you come out as an officer at the end of it. That's a great program. I'm a firm believer, and I've had a number of those folks serve under me, and it's just a great way to raise people up in the military system. Some wind up going on active duty, some stay in the Guard. But first of all, ma'am, thank you for your son's service, and I would say this, tell him to hang on, because what he's in right now is not what he's going to be in very soon. And when I say that, what I fully expect to have happen is the midterm elections are going to see a sea change in life out of D.C. There's going to be mandates coming from Congress that tell the Biden administration to back off on the COVID mandates. I bet you we're going to see a Republican wave in the House and the Senate that's going to allow for the reinstatement of those who lost their careers over COVID. And I bet we're also going to wind up seeing the ability to move the force forward and get away from certain policies. And then in 2 years, that administration is going to be gone, because I do not see any way right now that Biden could get reelected. Let me jump over to the phones real quick. Line 3, Steve from Tennessee. Steve, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Wanted to comment on your lady that called earlier and talked about all the woke training that she had to endure.
Yeah.
I saw that start. I mean, I was working in the Pentagon and military personnel policy when Obama was elected, and that's where it started. They ran off a lot of 06 and above that had a different point of view. But I want to say this. I think the reason that they have rejected and pushed back and tried to just bury what Martin Luther King taught is that it was working. And the last thing the leftists want is for the racists to get along. And I was a little kid. I grew up through the Martin Luther King era. I was born in 57. And I saw all that. And, it made sense. Judge a man by his character, not his color. Even as a kid, I got it.
Yeah,
and it was working. The military was one of those places where I could point to and say, I never really saw, I just didn't see it. And I certainly didn't do it. Any kind of discrimination there. But for the racists to get along, man, the leftists, they don't want that. So now you got CRT, you got all this other stuff. Who's Martin Luther King? You want to hear about him anymore. So I could totally relate to what she had to say. And, no, man, I hope you're right about what's coming.
Man, we better be right or we're going to be in a world of hurt. Great point, Steve. Appreciate you as always, man. And listen, the phone lines are filling up, so let me grab a few more calls while I got a minute. And by the way, I will say this too. I saw the same things during the Obama administration when I was in. That's when it really began to catch fire. And a lot of the woke policies and things we had to put up with, the additional training on things that didn't relate to real life, because I would be in the unit serving alongside people of all different demographics, male, female, black, white, Asian, didn't matter, Latino, didn't matter. And yet we were being told, here's the training on the things that you need to understand happen every day in your military. No, they don't. They don't happen I don't see it. I'm going to tell you right now, one of my finest company commanders when I was a battalion commander was a young black captain who was sharp as a tack, one of the best I had. But no one sat around going, "Well, he's black, so I don't know that he should be a company commander." What it didn't happen. It was your character, it was your competency, it was your ability to do the job and lead the troops. That's what mattered. And we had it from all walks of life, we had it from all demographics, we had it from all ethnic backgrounds. And in 30 years of military service, I did not see racism. And yet we're told it's systemic in the military. Let me grab line two, Josh from North Alabama. Josh, how you doing today?
How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, so obviously you've covered a lot of the problems that we see, how this current administration is affecting military policy. But there are a lot of good news stories out there with the Army's modernization. Obviously, recruiting is a massive problem right now, and it's going to continue to be as this generation is really fatter, undereducated, and has more criminal history than others. So about 30% is actually available to even join the military. But that's all separate, and we talk about woke policies. But looking at the good news side of it, looking at Army modernization. So if you look at materiel and you look at doctrine, the Army is in an all-out sprint to adapt itself to the changing operational environment. So I'm active duty, so I do have some background in this. And when you look at materiel, for example, what's happening at Redstone with the future vertical lift, with hypersonic missiles, with UAS, the unmanned aerial systems, there's a ton of stuff out there that the Army is injecting a ton of money into, and they're actually learning from past failures in order to make that happen. When you look at doctrinal changes, so we've seen a hard shift away from the counterinsurgency in the past two decades, and we've done a lot to make sure that our material that we're adapting is actually going to fit the doctrine that we are making work for actual real high-intensity conflicts. So there are a lot of good news stories out there, and it's easy for those to get lost in the shuffle of the woke policies from the Biden administration.
Now that's a perfect and well-stated point. Let me ask you this: how do you feel about materiel being matched to manning right now?
So it's a struggle. So you have to have the three. You have to have a good balance of materiel, training, and manning. And manning is the ultimate struggle right now across the board. With a competitive labor market, the military is just – it's just going to be harder for them to attract it. Plus, again, only 30% of military-age men and women are available. So that's going to be a constant struggle. And when you look at how do we match materiel and manning, the obvious way forward is looking at AI and unmanned vehicles platforms, both ground and in air. It's an unpopular strategy, but at the end of the day, the writing's on the wall that we're going to have to adopt more of that.
All right. Good stuff. As always, every time you call in, I feel like I need to get the continuing education credit for it. But good stuff, Josh. Appreciate you, and thanks for your service. I'll talk to you soon. All right. Hey, listen, I got time for one more call before the break. I have about a minute here. Let me grab line four, Ray from Fayetteville. Ray, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. Talking about woke and all that, we're going to, right now with the Biden administration, we're going toward a woke generation. And they're trying to divide us by race. So what they want a war. But they're not going to get their war because we're not going to give it to them. But
I agree with that.
All the military, and all the military, including you, I never had to serve because I signed up for the draft back when they had one. Well, they actually didn't have a draft at that time, so I've luckily never got into the military. But every time I see a military service person, I walk up to them and thank them for what they do for me. Because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have my freedom.
And perfectly stated. Ray, thank you for that, man. I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate you being in the audience. We got to run to a break right now. Copper, I got two holding on the line. I'd love to talk to them when we get back. If you can ask them to hang on, I'd appreciate it. All right, folks, listen. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, and trying to avoid the hollow army. We'll be right back and wrap this up. Y'all stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and still just plain right. Well, I got some callers who held on during the break, and man, I appreciate that. So let me just go to them. Copper, which one came in first? Is that line five? I think it is. Yeah, line five, Joe from Meridianville. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well.
Good. What's on your mind?
I wanted to touch on something I was sent to me by probably one of the most honorable people I served with when I was serving in the Air Force. He actually sent me a CBT question, which is computer-based training for people who don't know that. It actually labels the people who are right-wing as an example of a, and I'm quoting here, political terrorist group.
Wow. Wow. And that's an Air Force-sponsored training?
Yes, sir. I have no reason to ever doubt this guy's, you know, sent me a legitimate question. He took a picture directly of his screen, sent it to me, and he's not comfortable basically coming out and telling some other people who have shown some interest in it that are actual people with some power behind their names.
Yeah. I mean, do you know, Joe, was that something that was Air Force-wide, or was that like a contractor who was teaching a local
course? This person,
course?
They were going for a special duty at the time, and I believe they were required to take this specific training. and, I mean, the question says, which of the following are examples of political terrorist groups? It lists four different things: right-wing, anarchist, ethnocentric, and social. And then he answered it wrong twice, and the third time it told him the correct answers are right-wing and anarchist.
Wow. Man. Wow.
I added you on Twitter if you want to see the picture. So,
well, I tell you what, I'll jump over there soon and look at it, brother. I appreciate you giving the call. And, Joe, thanks for your service very much.
Yes, sir. Bye.
All right, Copper, who was next there? I got two more callers that we have time for, about 3.5 minutes here. Let me jump on line three, Mark from Owens Crossroads. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great. Listen, I served 23 years in the submarine force. And what I see right now, I appreciated one of your callers from the Redstone area telling us about all the high tech and the technology. But see, here's the point. We've always had that. America has been dominating with high tech and better weaponry, better sonar, better everything. That's great. Love it. But this woke thing is going nuts. It's making me more than just unhappy. I'm going nuts over it because we learned we are serving not to practice democracy, but to defend it. And my time there, it started out okay. It starts getting a little rougher over the edges and the years go by. Now we're at the point where we're not just wanting to practice democracy within the military services and branches. We want to practice corporate duties, and people think that it's all okay. You have to, you know, some of the special forces, they still have their little bit of identity to make them as good as they are. But the mass majority is becoming like a corporate entity where people's feelings get hurt, and you have to cater to many different things that just don't belong in the military. And for American to be strong and stay strong, we cannot operate that. We got to get back to military service, military training, and military duty, period.
Hey, Mark, thanks for that call. And I think it goes back to a question of leadership. The priorities in leadership are what you're talking about, basically. And by the way, there is nothing natural about being a submariner. Thank you for your service in the submarine force.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, take care. One more call, real quick. I got about a minute and a half. I'm looking at line four, Walker from Harvest. Hey, Walker, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Great to talk to you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you I'm a Right Side ruffian from Harvest, Alabama.
Outstanding.
I love your show.
Appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, so I got a lot rolling around my mind, but I want to talk about readiness. And a little bit of my background. I'm a retired Army First Sergeant in Air Defense. And I took over a role as Field Support Manager and then now the Chief Engineer for Design and Air Defense Systems. And when we go out to field these systems, I'm seeing part of why the Army's hollowed out that you were talking about, and it is a part of it is a huge leadership problem.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out, we went to 82nd Airborne.
Hey, Walker.
I'm not going to call them out by name.
Hey, Walker, I hate to do it, man, but the music's playing and we're going out. I would love to hear more of your comments, but we are at the end of the rope, brother. And hey, First Sergeant, Top, appreciate your service. Thank you for calling in. And I think what I heard was right. Leadership, it boils down to. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're back here Monday, going live across half the state. Y'all join us. We'll see you then.